Morning, today's daf and Idus Chaf. We are on Yutes Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. We're starting with the words Ezu Adam Kedem Amakem. The Mishnah yesterday introduced us to four reds that are going to make a woman a Nida. Simple pshat in the Mishnah is that there are four shades of red, meaning not the entire spectrum of red, but only four shades of red that will make a woman a Nida. Anything else would not be Dam Tame, but rather would be Dam Tahar. And as we read the Gemara yesterday critically, we pointed out that it could still qualify as Dam, but it's just not Dam Tam, it's Dam Tahor. Much like we say by Tsaras. It's not Tsaras, which is Tami, but rather Tsaras, which is Tahor, which exists. And the same thing is true regarding blood. There is such a thing called Dam Tahor. The Mishnah also mentioned black, but black is just simply blood, that red blood that came into contact with air, and therefore chemically turned from red to black. But so we call it four plus one. There are five different shades that will make a woman a Nida. And those five shades, the Mishnah went through yesterday. The Mishnah gave us just a little bit of information. And so what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf is we're going to try to give more detail to these shades. As I mentioned yesterday, but I'll repeat again today, Bizmanenu, nowadays, we do not make distinctions within the reds. Meaning nowadays, if you're showing a Mara to a Chacham, so all reds will be considered damnida. We have lost over the years our expertise of trying to distinguish between one red and another red. It's one of those masoras that unfortunately no longer with us. So all reds are going to be tame. The other colors that we mentioned, the Mishnah mentioned yellow yesterday. Akavi ben Mahalo says it's tame, but the Chachamim say it's tahor. The Halacha is that it's tahor. Brown, it's interesting. Brown is not mentioned in the Mishnah nor in the Gemara. And brown becomes a subject of dispute amongst the poskim. With all these matters, obviously, we're learning the Gemaras, but in terms of halacha, go to a posek. Anyway, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. Ezu Adam Kedem Amakem. So what is the color of red? Meaning red in the context of our Mishnah, in the context of red being a particular shade. So it's Kedem Amakem, so it looks like blood from a wound. My Kedem Amakem, so exactly what does that mean? In other words, the Gemara wants more specificity. Gemara is going to give no less than five different opinions amongst the Amoraim exactly what it means. Number one, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kedam Shor Shachat. So it is like when you shecht an animal and the blood that comes out immediately post Shechita. So Valema Kedam Shechita. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, the Mishnah knows how to say that. So if the Mishnah wanted to describe Dam Shechita, why didn't the Mishnah just simply say Dam Shechita? So Iyamar Kedam Shechita, Hava Amina Kekulu Shechita. Kamash Malan Kedam Amake, Ketchilis HaKar Shal Sakin. So the Gemara says, yeah, because if it would have said Dam Shechita, so we don't know which blood that comes out of the animal post Shechita. Meaning when you shecht an animal, so there is an initial rush of blood, and then there's more blood that comes out after that. Much of the blood is drained from the neck post Shechita. Now, being that there are various different types of blood, and Dr. K recently was kind enough to share with me that medically the bloods that come out immediately post Shechita, as opposed to the ones that come out at a later point in time, are going to, in fact, have different shades. And so if the Mishnah would have just simply said Dam Shechita, so we wouldn't know which post-Shechita blood are we talking about. So by the Mishnah, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says Dam HaMakeh, so what the Mishnah means is that it's the blood that comes out immediately post-Shechita.
Wouldn't it say Dam HaNefesh?
Okay, it could be another way. It could be another way to describe it. Number two, Ula Amar Kedam Tzipor Chaya. So the blood of a Tzipor Chaya, live bird. Now we say chaya. Now chaya over here means live as opposed to dead. That's one possibility. But it could also mean live meaning healthy. Maybe a very healthy bird as opposed to a weak bird. With the assumption, of course, is that the shades of blood of a healthy bird versus a weak bird are going to be different. Teiku, the Gemara, even on Ula's clarification, is not clear about Ula's clarification. Number three, Zeiri Amar Rabbi Chanina Kedama Achol Shel Rosh. So it's going to match the same blood that can be found in the louse of a head. So the lice that we have nowadays are really tiny. Head louse.
House of a
lead. Head louse. So the macholos shel rosh. So the now our lice nowadays are really tiny, and to squeeze it and to find the blood of it, that's a pretty neat trick. But anyway, the macholos back then obviously were larger. Now, I know that, you know, almost for certain, you know, I can't say it for certain. You know, it's been some time now since back then. But I can say it for certain because, as we're going to be learning, when we discuss the kesem, so the kesem can possibly be the blood coming from a louse. So we're talking about it's the size of a gris, which is approximately the area of a dime or a penny. And so therefore, obviously we're talking about creatures that are larger than the louse that we think about when we think about headlights. In any event, the Gemara challenges based on a Mishnah coming up later in the Perek of Ksamim. Now, if it happens to be that there was a louse that was killed in proximity to where the stain was found, you can be tola. You could say that the blood stain did not come from her, but rather come from the louse, considering that the louse was killed. Clearly, the shades of blood are going to be the same. Otherwise, you can't be tola. So, my love de kule gufa had lo derosha. Now, the Gemara's question was, it seems over there in that Mishnah, it could be the louse from any part of the body, and the Gemara just simply says no. Specifically, the louse of the head. The Gemara now is going to give a fourth understanding of what the Mishnah meant when it said dama maka. Ami vardina. Am Rabbi Abau kedam etzba ketana shal yad shenakfa vechaisa vechaz venakfa. So he's going to be super specific. The blood that comes out from a small finger, after it was already lacerated, and then healed, and then you opened it up again. Talk about being specific. And then you opened it up again. And veloshu kol adam, and we're not even talking about the finger of any person, ela shel bachor shelo nasa isha. It has to be specifically a man who never got married, who hasn't been married yet. Va'ad kama ad ben esrim, up until 20 years of age. So he's really specific in terms of the shade of blood that he's looking for. He has a mesorah. So it is a reopened cut coming off of a finger of a young man. Meisvei tola b'bnau b'balam. So the Gemara is going to challenge based on another Mishnah in the Perek of Ksamim. What you could be doing is you could be tola on your son and on your husband. Vishlama b'bnau mishkach alam. So if the definition of Dama Maka is what we just got done saying, it is the blood coming off from a young man who hasn't been married yet, so that's Bana. Ela Bala Hechim Shkachala. But if it's your husband, that doesn't qualify. So Amrav Nachum Yitzchak Kagon Shenichnasa Chuba V'lo Nivala. So, okay, so the Gemara gives the pshat, certainly a dochek pshat. What husband over here could mean that you went through the first stage of marriage, but not through the second stage of marriage, and so you and your husband have not yet had Tashmishin. That way it couldn't match our description over here. Number five. This is our fifth understanding of what Dama Maka makes reference to. Rav Nachman Amar Kedam HaKazeh. So bloodletting. So back in the day, as we discussed already a number of times, you know, here in Masechta Nida, obviously, where the topic is heavily on blood, so HaKazeh, bloodletting, has come up pretty often. And so, here again, we talk about bloodletting. Back in the day, it was a therapy. People went for therapeutic purposes to go get bloodlet. So Kedam HaKazeh Meisvei Maisa V'Tala Rabbi Meir B'Kilor V'Rebbe Tala B'Sraf Shikma. So the Gemara over here brings down again another Mishnah coming up later on in the eighth parak of our Masechta. And Rabbi Meir said that it was a kilor, some sort of some sort of blood, and the it looked like the blood of Anida, and therefore he was tola. He said that this stain over here is coming from the kilor and not from from her. And Rabbi Tala B'sraf, Shikma. And the sap of a Shikma obviously had to have some sort of red hue. And again, it's the same basic idea that Rebbe said that because she was dealing with this kind of sap, therefore the stain comes from the sap and not from her. So my love, Adom lo Ashar Adamim. Now, isn't it talking about Adom, meaning the Adom of our Mishnah, the first Adom of our Mishnah? And the Gemara says very simply, no, not necessarily. In other words, remember, there are three other shades of red. It could be that the Kilur and the Sraf Shikma are going on the other shades of red and not the one we're describing right now. Adkan, that almost takes us to the end of this first sugya of this morning. So in terms of shade number one of our Mishnah, the red number one of our Mishnah of Dama Maka, so the Mishnah just simply says Dama Maka. That's the Adom of our Mishnah. And as far as what exactly that means, the Gemara gives no less than five different explanations of the Amoraim. What exactly is Dama Maka? To finish up this first sugya, we are on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, two lines down. So you have these Amoraim in front of the blood letter. Shakli le karna kamaisa la ameimar. Chazia amar lehu adom didnan kihai. So they take out the first batch of blood in their bloodletting. A Maimer looks at the first first expression of blood, and he says, "Oh, that's Adam," meaning right the Mishnah Nida, right the talking and learning, right the Mishnah Nida in the second parak describing the four different shades and the Adam of that the Adam we're looking right at it now. Shakli le Achrita, and now one more round of bloodletting, and Amar lo Ishtane, and a Maimer says, "Oh, that's a different shade." Right, and he's pointing to it, and he says, "That's a different shade. Everyone see it?" And the other Amarim that are in the room, they're looking at it, and they say, "We don't see it." I'm Ravashi Kagonana de lo yedane bein hai lahai lo mi bai le lemechse dame. So Ravashi says, "I don't see the difference," meaning to me, that's red, and it's the same shade. And as a result of that, Ravashi says, "I'm going to have to take a pass on paskening maros," meaning being that I do not have this ability to discern the different types of shades, so obviously that disqualifies me for paskening any kind of mara. Shachor kecheres, we're up to the black now. Now, black, as we learned, is one of the shades that is going to make a woman tummy. In other words, in the sequence of the Mishnah, number one was Adom, which we just got done describing, and number two now is Shachor, and we're describing it right now. Shachor kecheres. Now, the Mishnah, again, in its very succinct description, calls the Shachor cheres. Now, it's some sort of, I'll describe it like shoe polish. It's almost like. Some sort of black chalk. So, Amar Rabba Barav Huna, Cheresh Amru Dio. Ah. So, the Gemara over here describes it now like ink. But ink, right, usually we think about ink in terms of a liquid form, but obviously ink can also come in a solid form as well. And then what you want to do when you want to turn to a liquid is you're going to take the chalky, you're going to take the chalk and you're going to throw it into water and you're going to create an ink. So, Cheresh Amru Dio. So, we're talking about some sort of black ink. So it's an ink. And again, now the Gemara is going to ask the same question that we asked previously. If the Mishnah meant ink, why wouldn't the Mishnah say ink? Velema dio. So let the Mishnah say ink. Iyamar dio hava aminaki pachusa didiusa. Kamash malan ki charusa didiusa. So the Gemara says, because if the Mishnah would have said ink, look, ink comes either in a liquid form or in a solid form. And so if the Mishnah would have said ink, so it could have meant either the liquid form or the solid form. Now, again, being that I'm really not any kind of, I don't have any knowledge on any of this, I just assume, like Rashi's telling us, that the liquid form, it's a lighter black. It's a lighter shade of black. And the solid form is a darker shade of black. And so therefore, we wouldn't know which black to match it to if we just had the word dio. And so therefore, by virtue of the Mishnah saying cheres, cheres implies and indicates that something which is solid, and so therefore we're talking about the solid form. Now the Gemara says, are we talking about the moist or are we talking about the dry? So the Gemara says, well, look, I know what Rabbi Ami did. In other words, Rabbi Ami was given a mara, he was given a stain to look at, and he matched it against ink. But specifically, dry ink. What he did is he peeled off some of the flakes of the dry ink in order to match the mar that was given to him to the dry ink. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmol, Kikir Kidyo, Ucha Anav, Tmeya. So if it looks like kir, some sort of black wax, or dio, which is ink, like we just got done describing, or na anav, some sort of blackberry, so Tmeya, such a woman would be Tmeya. Vizeu Shoshanino, Amok Mikan, Tmeya. And in the Mishnah, actually, it's clear. Because the Mishnah says, Amok Mikan. The Mishnah says that if it's a deeper shade, so then it's going to be Tame. So all these things that we just described are, in fact, a deeper shade than the baseline. Our baseline is going to be the Dio. And anytime you go any deeper shade than that, that's going to be Tmeya. And these colors, the black wax and the black berry, so they're a deeper shade. Amar Ebelazar Kezais Kezefes Ka'orev Tahor. If it's a black olive, or pitch, or raven, these are all other shades of black, so they're going to be tahor. Vizehu shishaninu dia mikan tahor. And that is going to be our Mishnah as well, because the Mishnah says that lighter shades are going to be tahor, and all these colors of the black olive, the pitch, and the raven are of a lighter shade. Ula amar kalavusha siva. The Ula says that it's like this kind of article of clothing. And Ula ikla pumbadisa. And the Gemara now tells the following story regarding Ula. Ula went to Pumbedisa Chazialu Taya, and he saw an Arab, Delavush Lavusha Uchma, and he happened to have been wearing a black garment. Amr Lahu Shachor Dinan Kihai. And Ula turns to the Talmidim and says, you want to know what black is of the Mishnah? You want to know the shade? It's that garment right there. That's the perfect match. So, Martu Mine Porta Porta Yalvibe Arba Meizuze. And so the students went over to the Arab merchant and said, look, can we have just a small little patch of your garment? And each student came over to him and asked him for a small, just to cut out a small little patch, to the point where the Arab merchant received 400 zuz for his garment, right? An absurd amount of money for one article of clothing, but to them, the value skyrocketed because for them now, this is going to be serving as the baseline of what is the shade of black. Rav Yochanan Amar Elu Kelim Al Yurim Habayim Medina Sayam. Rav Yochanan says that these are clothing Al Yurim. Al Yurim, Rashi describes as bath attendants. Don't ask me, I don't fully understand, but they wear black garments. And the Rabbi Yochanan, also trying to give a baseline of what the black shade is. So he says, you know, the black clothing worn by the bath attendants, that's what we're describing. Now the Gemara says, now obviously Rav Yochanan feels that the Ulurim clothing is black. The Gemara says, but I have another incident where it's clear that it's not black. Rav Yochanan said the following to his children, don't bury me neither in black clothing nor in white clothing. Now you're going to bury me in black clothing, it's going to be awkward. Because what's going to end up happening is I'm going to go to Shemayim in my black clothing, and I'm actually going to get to Olam Haba. I'm going to get to Gan Eden, and I'm going to look totally out of place. Everyone there is wearing white. I'm wearing black. It's no good. And Levanim Shem Lo Ezkeve Yekechasa May Na Avelim. And then what's going to happen is if you put me in white clothing, so then I may not be Zochem. I know it's Rav Yochanan talking. It's hard to process, but I may not be Zochem. And I'm going to be in the other place, and I'm going to be wearing this white clothing, and I'm going to stick out. So I really don't want to stick out. So, Elak Bekelim Ha'ulurin Habayim Medina Siyam. So dress me up in the Ulurin, which is a shade somewhere between black and white. Now, if I were to pen a commentary to the Gemara, I would have said it's gray. That's what I would have said.
But we'll stand up for it in both cases.
Right, correct. And then he wouldn't fit in either place. Right. And another thing which is strange is that Rashi over here describes it as a color red. Okay, anyway. But I get the general point. And anyway, also consider, meaning the clothing that you... it's hard to understand. Obviously, the place that we're going to is not a physical place. The clothing that we are put on before is not the clothing that's coming with us. But obviously... the Gemara is to be understood on higher levels. But still, the point of all this is that when he's describing a color that's somewhere between black and white, he calls it Ulurin. That's the whole point of this incident. Amalav Uchmeninu. So Lakasha Habaglima Habepetura. So the Gemara says, look, different types of the Ulurin. If we're talking about the clothing they wear, so that's the black that was described by Rabbi Yochanan just moments earlier. If we're talking about the linens that they have, are going to be somewhere between a black and a white. According to Rashi, it's red. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel V'kulan Ein Botkin El Algabe Matlis Levena. Or Levana, I should say better. In terms of checking the color, so there has to be a proper background. Checking for color requires contrast, and so therefore it needs a proper background. Proper background is a white background. Amar of Yitzchak Bar Avdumi V'shachar Algabe Adom. Now, but what if you're checking the color black? So... proper contrast for the color black would be red. So when you're looking for your reds, your four reds of our Mishnah, so that has to be on a white background. When you're looking for the color black, which is also a color in our Mishnah, so that has to be on a red background. And Rav Yirmiyah says, there's no debate over here. Meaning, I kind of gave away the answer. But if when looking at the black, so on a red background. When you're looking at the reds, on a white background. Right? The Gemara thought it was a stira, and then the Gemara resolved it. I kind of gave away the resolution before I read it in the Gemara. Anyway. Maskov Ravashi Hachi Lema Shmuel Chutz Mishachor. The Gemara says, yeah, but when you read Shmuel's statement, Shmuel didn't discriminate. He said everything on a white background. So Elam Ravashi B'Shchor Gufei Kamifligei. So the Gemara says, Ravashi says, no, there really is a debate over here. But the debate is only limited to the black the black blood that you're looking at. And so, according to one opinion, it is on a white background, and according to another opinion, it's on a red background. Okay. Gemara now is going to have the following debate. In our Mishnah, we had four shades of red. And then the Mishnah made a comment, and the Mishnah says that if it is a darker shade, it's going to be tameh, and if it's a lighter shade, it's going to be tahor. Now, if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah, I'm going back to yesterday's daf, and I'm looking back at the Mishnah, Ezu adom kedam amakeh, shachur kecheres. Mm-hmm. So the first thing the Mishnah talks about is adom and shachur, right? Red, but meaning wound red, and the black. Then the Mishnah says, amok mikan tameh, dia mikan tahor. Darker it's going to be tameh, and lighter it's going to be tahor. And then the Mishnah goes over the other three shades of red. So when the Mishnah talks about darker and lighter, is the Mishnah going only on the damake, or is the Mishnah talking about the other colors as well? Okay. Now, I'm going to also share with you something that is not clear to me, and I thought I really understood it, and now I realize I really don't understand it. We're talking about lighter versus darker, meaning darker than the shade is going to be tameh, lighter is going to be tahor. When you're talking about colors, so you're talking about either hue, in other words, an actual different color. In other words, there are blues, but there are different lighting shades of blue. And I'm not talking about lighting. I'm talking about actual color, the hue. Mm. And then you're talking about also intensity, meaning a bright blue versus a very dull blue. But that's not a different shade. That's just simply a different intensity. When the Mishnah talked about lighter and darker, right, I thought originally he was talking about intensity. I'm not sure I'm right. In other words, it could be that the Mishnahs are over here referring to hue, and we're going across the spectrum. Okay, could very well be. I'm just sharing with you my lack of certainty. The Gemara now is going to record a number of opinions in terms of where we are on the spectrum based on our Mishnah. So we'll start off with Ula's position. Amar Ula. Kulan amok mikantam idia mikantahor kishachor. So when Ula says that when it comes to all the colors of our Mishnah, it's going to be true for every one of the colors mentioned in the Mishnah. That if it's a deeper shade, it's going to be tamei, and if it's a lighter shade, it's going to be tahor. Now ve'ela maishna shachor denaka. Now why did the Mishnah put this line by shachor? Meaning why did the Mishnah put it after mentioning all the colors? Strong question. So Sagada Khamina Hova Am Rabbi Khanina Shachor Adamhu Ella Shalaka Kafilo Dia Mikanami Litme Kamash Mulan. The Gemara says, well, because it's a bigger chiddush by Shachor. Because what is Shachor? As we know, we saw this yesterday. Shachor is really red, but because it came into contact with air, so it went through a chemical change and therefore turned black. Oh, so if we're talking about a color that comes out in its original shade, so then we can make this distinction of lighter versus darker. But since black is not the original color, but black is just simply a chemical change from the red, so therefore I might have thought that by black you don't have this distinction. That's what I would have thought, Kamash Malan, that we do have this distinction even by black. So the first opinion of Ula is that by all shades mentioned in the Mishnah, a darker version of it is going to be Tameh, a lighter version of it is going to be Tahor. Rebbe Ami Bar Abba, Amar V'kulan Amok Mikan Tameh, Dia Mikan Tameh. Now, Rebbe Ami Bar Abba, our second opinion says that in every one of the cases of the Mishnah, darker is going to be Tameh, and lighter is also going to be Tameh, with exception to black. Chutz Mishachar. So that means to say that according to Rebbe Ami, in any shade of red, it's going to be tameh. And this only time that you're making a distinction between a lighter shade and a darker shade is only going to be by black. Elamaya hanishiyuri derabanan. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then what's the purpose of identifying the four reds? Mm-hmm. If darker or lighter is also going to be tameh, so then basically there is no in-betweens. Every shade of red now is going to be tameh, and the Gemara says, and why go through the whole trouble of identifying the four reds? So the Gemara says, la'afuki dia didia v'ika. I'm sorry, ahani shiurei derabban la'afuki dia didia. Okay, and the Gemara says, well, what we're looking to do is we're looking to exclude when you're outside the range. Meaning the way that Rabbi Ami would understand our Mishnah is that what the Mishnah is doing is it's giving us a range. Mm-hmm. Of from this red to this red. Now, personally, I'm struggling a little bit with this Gemara because if the whole purpose of the Mishnah is to give us a range, the Mishnah would only then have to give us two shades of red, and then not just simply say anything in between. Right. The Mishnah is giving us four shades of red. It's a little bit harder to understand. Okay, but anyway, that's what Rami Ami does. And when and as far as then, what's the point of the Mishnah is that if you're outside the range. So then, much lighter, or presumably much darker, whatever the case is. So then it's going to be Tahor. That is version number one of Rabbi Ami. Igadami, now in another version, Rami Bar Abba Amar, V'kulan Amok Mikan Tahor, Dia Mikan Tahor. Now in this next version, if you're going to go a shade up or a shade down from any of the shades of the Mishnah, Tahor. Now Chutz Mishachor, and with exception, of course, to black, because the Mishnah said that by black, a darker shade is Tameh, and a lighter shade is Tahor. Now here, it's perfect why the Mishnah would go through four shades of red. Because according to the second version, which is now in our Gemara, our third opinion, so now it comes out that anything other than the shade of red expressed clearly in the Mishnah is going to be Tahor. And as far as black is concerned, black is the only color where a darker shade is Tameh, a lighter shade is Tahor. But Kapara Amar, this now is going to be our fourth opinion on this topic. Bar Kapara Amar V'kulan Amok Mikan Tameh Dia Mikan Tahor. So Bar Kapara says that with all the shades of our Mishnah, darker is going to be Tameh, lighter is going to be Tahor, Chutz Mi Mezeg, with exception to the diluted wine. Shamok Mikan Tahor Dia Mikan Tahor. The diluted wine is the color of red in which a lighter is Tahor and darker is Tahor as well. Bar Kapara, and that's the opinion of Bar Kapara. Okay, so four opinions in total in terms of the qualification of our Mishnah when you're talking about a lighter shade or a darker shade. And the Gemara just concludes this section with a story. Bar Kapara, Adhule Vidake, Amukule Vidake. So when it came to Bar Kapara, so they gave him various shades of red. And they made it darker than the shade of our Mishnah, and he paskened, Tahor. That's the Aramaic word, dache. And they made it a darker shade, and he too again said, Tahor. And Amar Rabbi Chanina kama nafish gavra, delibe kishmaite. And Rabbi Chanina was so impressed. Meaning, not only did he express his opinion in the Beis Medrash, but when it push came to shove, when it comes to halacha lemaisa, he paskened like that as well. And so, libe kishmaite. Just like he says, that's his actions. Okay, it shouldn't be that surprising, meaning that should be the norm, and I'm not really sure why it is that the Gemara gives us so much praise. Like, it's unbelievable. Paskins like he holds. Okay, the Tana. Okay, Karen Karkum. Okay, we're up to the crocus. Okay, yesterday I described it as saffron. I wasn't wrong yesterday. As those who were with me before the daf know. I wasn't wrong yesterday. The saffron is a spice that comes from the crocus flower. It's the stigma of the crocus, which makes up the, we'll add, very expensive saffron spice. But the crocus itself is a flower. As I mentioned before we started the daf today, there is a small problem in that the crocuses, as we know them today, are purple in color. And not red is what the Mishnah over here is describing. But that's fine because the Mishnah, first of all, we don't know absolutely that the crocus of the Mishnah is the same as what we have now. And it could very well be that there are different varieties of the crocus. And we know the ones that have been cultivated over the years is the purple variety, but there could be a red variety as well. But I'm only speculating. Only speculating. Ukikaren Karkom. So now we're talking about the blood that looks like the same shade as the crocus flower. So Tana Lach Velo Yavish, it's got to be moist. It can't be dry. Tanichada, we learned in one brisa ketachtum lo kelyon. It has to be the lower leaf, not the upper leaf. Vatanya idach kelyon lo ketachton. And another brisa describes it as being the upper leaf, not the bottom leaf. Vatanya idach. And wait, we're not even going to resolve it yet because it gets more complicated. Kelyon v'koshekin ketachton. The upper and certainly the lower. Vatanya idach ketachton v'koshekin kelyon. And we have another brisa that says the lower and certainly the upper. And so, which leaf of the crocus should we be looking at to match against the blood that came out of the woman? Oh. So after learning all these brisas, you're good and confused. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Tosa Dar V'Tosa Tarfan Havyan, Nakod Dar Mitziyasa V'Tarfan Mitziyasa B'Yadcha. So Abaye says, here's the resolution. So the crocus that he was looking at, it's not going to be the same one that you, when you look it up, because I know that's what's going to happen now. Everyone's going to look it up. I did the same thing. So you're going to look it up. You're going to find it's, you know, it doesn't look like rose. It's a bulb. So I know. So anyway, so here it's describing where there are different rows of leaves. And so we don't want the, it's not, in other words, and within each row, there are also going to be three leaves. Kind of like the Handas. Kind of like it. So anyway, so when you're going to the row on the top, no. And when you're going to the row below, also no. You want the middle row. And within the middle row, so what you want is really the middle leaf of the middle row. And when you go back over the braisa, so now with that knowledge, you plug in every braisa works. Because when the braisa says, not the top of the one below, that's referring to the top row. And when the braisa says, not the bottom but the one above, that's referring to the bottom row. And when the braisa says, you know, you prefer the one above and the one below is okay, or you prefer the one above but the one below is even better, so those braisas are describing the middle row, but the three leaves within the middle row. It all works out. Ki also lekamid Rabbi Abba Amar Lahu begushayu shanino. When looking and matching against the crocus leaf, it has to be that the crocus leaf is still planted in the ground. Once you pull it out of the ground, so its shade is going to change oh so slightly, and that slight change is not the color we're looking for, so it has to be bigushayu. It has to still be in the ground. Okay, that is going to be the section on crocus. Continuing now, chameme adama. We're looking at matching it against red earth. Now, in terms of red earth, so we'll see it all together in the Gemara. I don't have to give any kind of introduction. Tana Rabbanan Kamei Adama, maybe Adama Shmeina, maybe Bigas Base Kerem. So you have to look at, it's such a great adjective, fat earth. Fat earth over here means basically, I assume it means fertile earth. So the you bring the earth from Bigas Base Kerem, Umeitziv Alayam Mayim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And what you're going to do is that you're going to put water on top of it, meaning that it's not just that you're matching it against this red earth, but red earth soaked in water, it's that particular shade. Now, Rabbi Akiva Omer, now in our Gemara, we have the Girsa of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gaon amends it. The Gaon says it should be Rabbi Yehuda. And now, right, with enough experience, I get it. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is not a contemporary of Meir. He's a Rebbe to Rabbi Meir. He taught Rabbi Meir, but he's not contemporary. Meaning, whenever you see machloksim of Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yossi. These are the later Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva is an earlier Tana. So the Gaon was sensitive to these types of nuances. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mibikas Yudfas. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's taken from a different valley. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mibikas Sachni. Rabbi Yossi has a different valley. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Mibikas Ginusar. And Rabbi Shimon says even from the valley of Ginusar. Ginusar, by the way, is an area where elsewhere in the Gemara it's described. If it's by the Kinneret, the Ginusar, right? The Peros Ginusar. I have it in my memory bank somewhere in the Gemara Megillah. But
What do you mean by Af?
Yeah, so it sounds like from Rabbi Shimon. All right, it's a great observation. It sounds like from Rabbi Shimon, he agrees with the other locations. And this earth is also good. Yeah, okay, sounds that way. The Gemara is going to quote another brisa, which is going to be very similar in nature. So here again, we start off with the same assumption that we're going to take the earth from the base kerem, and float water on top of it, and basically enough so that it looks like the peel of the garlic, meaning just enough water so that it just floats the earth, but no more than that. Now I can't tell you how much water to put in because it's really going to be relative to the amount of earth. Now, it's got to be that you muddy up that water. Don't mix it up with your hand because I'm ad-libbing a little bit. You know, the oils and the secretions that come from your hand, so that's going to ruin the color. The Gemara doesn't say that, but I'm just suggesting a pshat. Now, the Gemara is a little bit unclear about that last instruction about not using your hand. Is the pshat that you have to put it in a kli and then mix it, but mixing with your hand would be okay? Or maybe no. Maybe what's meant over here is that you put it in a kli and you must mix it with the utensil, i.e. you can't use your hand not even to mix it. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's try to clarify that last point. Kishu botkan, ein botkan ela bekos. So you only can do it in a cup. The Gemara says, but that doesn't resolve my question. Yeah, I get it. The bidika has to be in a cup. I can't hold the dirt in my hand. Yeah. That part I get. But what I'm asking is that when I mix it, can I mix it with my finger? Or must I mix it with a kli teku? Gemara leaves this last detail unresolved. You must find the earth indigenous to where it is where it is found. You can't import the earth because once you send it away, it's going to lose its natural original color. Rabbi Chanina Pale Korta de Gargashta Ubadik Bay. Rabbi Chanina did something which was controversial, and that is he took a flake of the earth and he compared it and he contrasted the blood against the flake. Now, the problem with that, why is that so controversial? Right? Because, as we just learned, it has to be matched against only after the earth has been mixed with water. And he was so proficient, he was so skilled, he didn't feel the need to do that. Light Allah Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi ba'askara. Now Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi cursed him. Cursed him with askara. It sounds awful. It is. In other words, he cursed him with a serious curse of illness. Askara is a kind of illness where, I don't know the proper diagnosis, but basically it's asphyxiation. Okay. You can't breathe, diphtheria. Okay. Yeah, right, and correct. Meaning, right. It seems to be a really, really harsh reaction to Rabbi Chanina's method of checking. Okay, I'm with you. But obviously it's our job is to try to learn from this, and right. Rabbi Chanina who dechacham kolei amalav chakimei. And the Gemara itself now points out as we turn to the Amud Beis. You see, the problem is that Rabbi Chanina is doing something that nobody else has the kind of expertise or proficiency to do. So Rabbi Chanina is going to behave in this manner, and for him it's fine because he has that kind of expertise. But other people are looking around and they're saying, well, if he could do it, I could do it, not understanding that, no, that's not true. And anytime you have this in halacha where, even though for you it would be okay, but for others it's no good, so that's a behavior that you should not do. The best example I can think of on the fly is going to be regarding matzahs. Right, you're not allowed to make matzahs in a mold. Okay, in other words, you have to bake the matzahs flat out. Now, what we do, of course, is that we burn them to a crisp. But that wasn't the way it was done in the old days. In the old days, they would make them. You know, it wasn't hard and crispy. It was bread that just wasn't allowed to be leavened. Could you actually make it in a mold? So the Gemara Pesachim tells us no. There was a family who was so proficient and so expert that they were able to bake their matzahs in a mold and still prevent it from becoming chametz. But the Gemara says, okay, but don't do it, because nobody else has that kind of proficiency. So just off the top of my head, I was thinking of an example of where else we find this kind of phenomena. Rabbi Chanina hu dechacham kulei am alav chakimei. Hachi amar Rav Yochanan chachmasa de Rabbi Chanina garmali delochazei dama matmina metar, metarna matmei. And Rabbi Yochanan comments that, look, Rabbi Chanina, he was so smart, his profound insight and his expertise was such that I never looked at blood, because he looked at blood, right? I saw it first, I said Tame, he said Tahor. I looked at another blood, I said Tahor, and then he went ahead and said Tame, and I realized that I just don't have the kind of skill and proficiency that he does. I'm Rabbi Lazar Anvasanusa, the Rabbi Chanina, Garmeli de Chazai Dama. So it is the modesty and humility, Rabbi Chanina, in which allowed me to look at blood. Uma Rabbi Chanina de Anvasan hu machis nashe l'safik v'chazei ani lo ichzei. Now Rabbi Chanina was known for his modesty. He was such a modest and humble person, and he never wanted to get into any kind of controversy. And looking at dam, by definition, gets you involved in controversy, right? You show it to one chacham. I mean, you shouldn't do it. And by the way, the end of today's daf, we're going to talk about this. You show it to one chacham, he has one opinion. You show it to another chacham, and he looks at it, and they're both talmid chachamim. But, you know, they're going to disagree. And it's going to lead to controversy. And Rabbi Chanina stayed far away from controversy. However, looking at maras are so important that he put himself in controversy. And he's such a humble person. So Rabbi Lazar says, if he can do it, I can do it. And I'm going to put myself out there, even though I run the risk of controversy, and I'm going to look at blood as well. So it's interesting, different Amorayim, both gleaning for Rabbi Chanina, but coming out with opposite conclusions. Rav Yochanan says, I'm never going to look at blood again. And Rabbi Lazar says, oh no, if he can do it, I can do it. I'm Rabbi Zera, Tiva de Bavo Garmeli de Lo Chazei Dama. So the Tiva. Now, Tiva over here could mean coins, but probably it means over here in this context science. And science over here meaning natural sciences, meaning whatever they had as a discipline of natural sciences. So Tiva de Bavo Garmeli de Lo Chazei Dama. So de Amina, I said the following, but Tiva lo Yadana, Bedama Yadana. So the Gemara says now, they were expertise in natural sciences. So they understood to the best of their, you know, of their understanding, you know, biology, chemistry, right, and botany, right, and all the things that you have to know in order to properly identify, you know, the shades and everything. Huh? No, so this is, well, this the comment over here is made by Rabbi Zera about the Babylonians. That they the lo chazidama da amina betiva lo yadana bedama yadana. So the member the betiva talim elson. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Do you have to be so proficient in the sciences? Vaha Rava hu di yada betiva velo yada bedama. So the Gemara says, now Rava happens to have been proficient in the natural sciences. He knew about these disciplines, and he was not he never got expertise on blood. So he knew about the sciences, right? The biology, the chemistry, etc., etc. And he didn't look at blood. So Kosha can kamar. So the Gemara says, well, that just makes my point even stronger. Uma Rabba, diyada b'tiv avlo chazadama, v'ana echzei. Look, he knew about the natural sciences and he didn't look. I don't even know about the natural sciences. So I should be in a position where I should look? For sure, no. Ula uklulam pumbadisa isla kamidama v'lo chazam. Ula went to pumbadisa and they showed him Maris. And he refused to look at them. Amar Umar Rabbi Lazar Damar Da Ari Disra Hava Ki Mikla La Asra De Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chazidama Ana Echzei. Look, let me tell you the little that I know. Rabbi Lazar was the Marad Ari Yisrael. He was the Marad Asra of Eretz Yisrael and the Gadol. And when he went to another location, specifically that of Rabbi Yehuda, he refused to look out of respect for Rabbi Yehuda, who over there in that locale, Rabbi Yehuda was the Marad Asra, and that was the Gadol of Eretz Yisrael, who out of respect to the local rabbi, did not look at it. I say local rabbi, I mean local Mar D'Asra, right? Not just the Rav. So Ula says, I'm not the Gadol Hador. I'm certainly not going to be in a position where I'm going to go into someone else's location, overstep my bounds, and look at a Mara, and meanwhile, you have your local rabbinic authority. Gemara just wants to give an example of Rabbi Lazar and his godless. So the Gemara says, well, here's what happened. Blood was brought to him, right? It was a discharge. Now, what Rabbi Lazar did is he looked at the blood, but also did something which, to us, is going to sound a little bit unusual, but not only did he allow his sense of sight to see the blood, but his sense of smell as well. He smelled it. And he described the blood as being dam chimud. Now, dam chimud is the blood that comes out of a woman, discharges out of a woman when she has a strong emotional urge towards her husband. This is what's called dam chimud. It sounds like, and you could look at the Tosfos HaRosh over here, who says that the dam chimud is tame. Okay, and yeah, that's what he writes, right? Perish utame. So there is a debate on this topic of whether dam chimud is tar or tame, but just at least in our daf, certainly I have a Mar Makom right here that says that it's tame. But anyway, but the point is that his ability to discern was so great, not only did he know the blood, but he also know what generated and caused the blood to come out. It's Dam Chimud. Now, was Rabbi Lazar right? Meaning, he expressed an opinion, that's great. But what Rabbi Ami wanted to know was confirmation. And so what he did, slightly unusual, but he wanted to know. And Itapale Rabbi Ami, Amarle. So he actually went and post incident. So he interviewed her and he asked her, what is the nature of this blood? And he said, Amra Le, she says to him, Ba'ali haya bederech v'cham dasiv. And he says, well, my husband was away and I had a strong desire for him. And okay. And as a result of that, the dam came out. And so Rebbe Lazar was right on the money.
Sounds more like a
story
than from that story. It sounds to me.
I know, but the Tosfos HaRosh says it beferish. Yeah, that's what he writes. It's right here on the daf. Okay, so Kari Aleha Sod Hashem Le'Reav. So on that, he said Sod Hashem Le'Reav, meaning the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reveal secrets to those who fear him. And so Rav Elazar had a extra level of Yerushamayim, and so he knows things. He knows things that you and I would not know. Okay, let us go a little bit further for this morning. Ufer Hirma's Ime Deshvor Malka, Sharja Damalakame de Rava. Ifra Hormiz, we hear about her throughout Shas, right? She is the mother of Shvor Malka. Shvor Malka was a Babylonian king. Babylonian king, not Jewish. That means his mother, also not Jewish. Did his mother convert? We don't have full clarity on that issue. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that she loved Yiddishkeit. She loved the Rabbanim. And she was in awe and had tremendous respect for Yadus. On top of that, we also know she practiced certain practices of Yadus. Does that mean that she fully converted? Again, not totally certain. Anyway, Sharja Damla Kamid Rava. So when she had a discharge, so she would send a mare of her discharge over to Rava. Haviyasav Rav Uvde Kamei Arche Amalei Haidam Chimudhu. So, and he did the same thing that we saw Rabbi Lazar do just moments earlier. So after looking at it, then he smelled it, and then he said, oh, this is Dam Chimud. And he sent it back to her saying, this is Dam Chimud. Amrle Labre, now she turns to her son, and she says to her sons, Tachaze Kamechachimu Yudai. These Jews are unbelievable. Like, they're so knowledgeable. She loved them. Now, you can imagine, by the way, her son being the king, and being a little bit more cynical than she is, so her son said, I'm not as impressed as you are. So Amalei Duma Kisuma Baruva. So he says, you know, it could have been a good guess, like a blind person finding a hole, an entrance to the ceiling. Meaning, in other words, lucky guess. Hadashadrele Shisin Mine Dama Vikulo Aminu. And so she wanted to prove to her son these Jews know what they're doing. It's not a lucky guess. 60 different maras that she sent to him. So the last mara that was sent to him was damkinim. It was the blood of a louse. Now, it's perfectly legitimate for us to confuse the blood of a louse and the blood of a discharge. In fact, we're going to be seeing in the 8th parak, and we already saw it earlier this morning, that the two bloods are really a match. And so therefore, one cannot discriminate one blood over another blood. And yet, istaya milsa, and the Gemara describes now that he experienced siyata deshmaya, and vishadale sikusa de mikile kame. And he sent to her a gift, which was a comb in order to get lice out of your hair. Now, it sounds like from the Gemara, because the Gemara describes as siyata deshmaya, like he didn't really know, but in other words, but with a little bit of divine help, he was able to at least give off the impression that he knew, that this last blood was the blood of a louse. Amr Yehudai, Betibne Deliba Yasvisu. And again, she said, these Jews, they know what's going on. Amr Rav Yehuda, Meresha Havamina Dama, Kevin de Amrlein. Meresha Hava Chazina Dama. Rav Yehuda describes how he saw Maris. And then Kevin de Amrlein, Ime de Yitzchak Bari, Hai Tipasa Kamaise, Lo Maisina La, Kamayu de Rabbana Mishum de Ziyama, Lo Chazini. But then I heard the following anecdote. And that is the mother of Yitzchak say that, you know, the first blood of discharge that came out of me, I wouldn't send that to the Chachamim. It was Zohim, it was disgusting, it had a really foul odor to it, so I wouldn't send it. I would send only the second discharge that came out. And once he heard that anecdote, so then he said, you know what, I'm not looking at blood anymore. Because I can't be confident that that which they're sending to me is really the correct discharge. In other words, they should have sent the first discharge, and they didn't. So, Mishum Dezuma, Lo Chazina Bein Temeya LaTorah Vade Chazina. And then, my ability to be able to discern between Temeya and Torah, so that I would look at, but in terms of just discharges in general, I wouldn't look at it. Okay, we are up to Yalta. And so what we'll do now is that we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Yalta. Really interesting Gemara. Yalta had Maras that she needed to show. She did not show them to her husband. And we're going to discuss that in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Let's just quickly recap. We saw already today the idea that the Mishnah says there are four bloods that are going to be Tamei, the other are going to be Tahor. The Gemara today went through all four shades of red, giving us a better description of what these four shades look like. More specific descriptions, although even as we know more, so there is a range of position in terms of what exactly they are. Damamaka, five different opinions amongst the Amorim, exactly what Damamaka is. We talked about black. We talked about having a darker or lighter shade. And the Gemara had four different opinions in terms of what is going to be the status of bloods that have a lighter or darker shade than the ones mentioned in our Mishnah. We described also the crocus flower. We described the red earth in more detail, and then the rest of today's daf, which we look to finish tomorrow, is going to be a description of various Amoraim and their skill and proficiency in doing bedika, how some had extra levels of proficiency, others had less levels of proficiency, some took the bold step forward to do bedikas, some did not. Okay.